Welcome to the Lighthouse podcast series. Lighthouse is a talent development program of PhotoDoc where 10 emerging photographers have worked on a new project. My name is Jennifer Munsdag and I am the moderator of this series. In this episode, we will talk to Alexis Molina, who has invited fellow artist by the name of Fro to be in conversation with us about, well, actually about themselves, about who they are as people, as artists in this day, in this time, and how actually everything happening in this day of time has an effect on how you breathe, walk around, but also I think what is very interesting, how that involves your artistry. So let's go. Alexis, let me start with you. First of all, very cool to be here. Can you tell us a little bit about you as a artist, if that's the label I'm allowed to put on you?
Yeah, you can put that. I'm from Curaçao, 23 years old. As an artist, I've always been like a observer. Mm-hmm. And in like when it came down to what I photography, it was like a way of me. I used the medium to shoot the things that I like saw from my perspective. Mm-hmm. And then I liked that when I made that clicking sound, that whatever I saw was captured in that moment, and then I can just look back at it as well, you know. And now it's been a while since I haven't actually picked up the camera. Mm-hmm. Because when I came here, I moved, of course, for study. And then after some time when I was done with the study, was also the same time that BLM kind of rose up. And the first and only way of that I thought I can definitely help in a huge way or the best way was through my photography.
Yeah.
And that's the moment where I started going to all the protests and taking pictures and then just sharing it, not asking for money or anything. I just wanted to share it to get that out there, you know. And I think it's become to the point as well that I only want to do that. Like, not protest, but mm-hmm. I only want my work to involve things that I really care about.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's more me, I guess.
Yeah. I think that's a great way of sharing, right? What you see, but also what we see is happening in the world. For instance, indeed, because of the Black Lives Matter movement, you picking up the camera again and showing us, this is what I see, this is what we're going through right now in this time. So you're documenting your time, and the importance of that is of inevitable value. That is amazing. And I love that you thought it was important enough to bring us Fro.
Yeah.
You are a friend, but you are a fellow artist. Can you tell us a little bit about you?
Well, I'm a 21-year-old Egyptian rapper. I've been into music for quite a lot of my life. Music has taken up a lot of my life. Rap, I wouldn't say not as much of it, but music definitely. But when I got into rap, it was mostly because of battling and stuff like that. But mostly throughout my time, I learned to appreciate the lyricism. I learned to appreciate the Pox, the Biggies, all of the Nas's, and everyone who has something to say, everyone who speaks their own life. Because I feel like music is everyone's language. Everybody can speak the language of music.
Absolutely.
So in that sense, if I'm telling you my story, you don't necessarily have to understand it, but you can probably find something within it that you can relate within your own story. And that's what kind of keeps my music going, sharing my story, but also to help you relate to your own.
Love that. And what was it for you, Alexis, that you said, okay, I want to go in conversation with Fro today?
Well, actually, it's a funny thing because I see a lot of me within him. As a friend, I've noticed, because I knew him before this rise of
the protests and everything, going on.
But I slowly see as well how he, same way as me, is sharing more and is becoming more of an activist. And that's why I was like, yeah, you definitely a candidate to come and like to talk to as well on this. Yeah.
It's growth.
Yeah, it's growth. But it's also like seeing it happen, because he's literally doing the same thing I was doing a couple of months ago.
So is it for you also, Fro, is it that within, for instance, now there there was a protest Sunday.
Yeah,
Sunday.
Sunday. Yeah. Free Palestine.
Yeah,
Free
Palestine. Was that also for you to be louder in the mic, to be more specific in the mic, or do you use that part of activism within your music?
Well, for me, I definitely speak what I see, and my music is part of my life, and this is starting to become a big part of my life, especially now. I'm not sure how much it's gonna influence my music yet, because I haven't really been writing. I've mostly been trying to keep up with what's going on, trying to make sure my information is right, trying to make sure when I'm standing up, I'm telling people the truth and I'm not telling anybody any false information. So most of my time right now is being spent on sharing my word, not necessarily through music, but through social media, because it's helping. And it's starting to dawn on me more and more that I can do something.
I'm
actually making a change, and I'm really hoping it does resonate in my music later, and I think it will, because it's starting to be a big part of my life.
Because I'm waiting, because I know it's like, because it's been for, like, for me, for instance, it wasn't that I immediately became or like gave myself that time as an activist. It just slowly grew. So that's why I'm like, it's like a plant, you know?
Yeah, exactly. It's like, it's almost, it's taking its time. Grow. But like, you start to read, and then you start to believe, and then you start to feel it, and then you start to want to do it.
Yeah.
So you want to change.
Absolutely. And the thing is, indeed, you need to be open to that growth. But the thing is, you don't do it alone. And that's the beauty that I'm also experiencing right here, because you are looking at him, recognizing a bit of yourself, but also recognizing the growth. And knowing that, okay, I want to share thought with you, platform with you, everything. You yourself also aware of the fact that, hey, I'm growing. Maybe it's not expressing through music right now, but it will, because I speak my truth. But you do feel the necessity of, this is something that needs to be shared.
Yes.
100%. So sharing, how big of a role does social media play for you within you spreading your message and awareness around activism? And maybe even using the tool photography or either music.
I feel like, at least for me, it's been one of the biggest parts. Because, yeah, without it, then I have to then go door to door in a way.
kind of true.
Nobody got time. In that sense. But no, I know the importance, at least, of social media. And it's easier in that way to then connect with other people, too.
Yeah, I definitely see where you're coming from with that. Especially hearing what, for me at least, knowing what's going on, and I've seen the amount of people who have wrong information, especially when it comes to this Israel-Palestine situation.
Yes, because there's so much wrong that's
being spread. The misconception is that this is a fair battle. There's really no fair battle. It's one country with the best defense system, and they have 378, I don't know how much, it's a crazy amount of billion-dollar military. Their numbers are huge, whereas they're bombing people. And they claim that it's something that is between two factions or two wars, let's say, when it's actually completely one-sided. And the social media aspect in it is the fact that Palestinians themselves are coming out online because they're losing their internet slowly. They bombed the Jazeera building, which held most of the media intel. It held most of the media intel, and Israel bombed that building in Palestine. So the intel is kind of gone right now. And they're trying their best to stop this. There's like, they're stopping the hashtags on TikTok and Instagram and Facebook. And social media is working. That's why.
Absolutely.
It's actually working, because they want us to stop. They're trying to take down the hashtags because it's working. They don't want people to see what's going on. And the Palestinians themselves are saying, you guys have no idea how much you're actually helping. So until they tell us to stop, I'm not going to stop.
And this is the same thing where he shared something on his story where I saw that in Italy that they stopped the shipment of
they got a shipment in Italy that was going towards Israel. And the people at the dock in Italy didn't send the shipment away because it was going to Israel.
And they knew then because of social media.
Because
they,
of social
it got
media.
Spread. They
so
know
awareness.
What it's,
it's helping.
They knew what it was for, and then they figured out what, like, the boat and stuff, and then decided not to do it.
Yeah.
And it's helping, so.
Because, indeed, the role of social media can also be misleading sometimes, right? There is lots of misinformation or a hype, a little black square, I always call it. You post it, and you're done. Because it can be one wrong post and then you're finished.
Yeah, that's true.
That's also, so true.
Yeah. Or is there
yeah,
you know,
cancel
redemption?
Culture.
Yeah, it's,
cancel
yeah
culture.
That's also
that's the thing. Cancel culture is this new thing that's coming around where you say one wrong word and you're automatically canceled. Nobody will acknowledge you anymore. Sometimes they're even starting to dig stuff from people's pasts and bringing it up. It's just like you can get hurt for saying the wrong word. It's a game of hangman at this point.
Yeah. So, but does that influence the way you express yourself, or do you just make sure I'm informed the way I am right now?
Actually, I've noticed that I have been more careful with the pictures I post, but in the sense that I don't want it to be used against. For instance, I had a picture of three speakers of BLM, but they didn't have a mask on.
Okay. Yeah.
So then I didn't post it because they didn't have a mask on, because I remember how when we had the protest at DAM, the very first one, that the politicians here only referred to the corona measurements and how we were not really being, you know.
Yeah.
And in a sense, if I post pictures of them, three people or three speakers together like that, then they're going to use that as a, see, they're not doing this right. And the conversation will then again be about something else and not be about what it, why they're there, basically, and why they want to do it. So
absolutely. So you have to make sure.
I have to, in a way, yeah.
It's also but the it's, media, in a sense. It's the same way the media sell their stories.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the media use certain words to make you think a whole different thing of it. Like, it's small words, one or two words that you can change within a sentence that makes something seem from this to a whole other level.
Yeah.
And it's those small things you got to be careful of, obviously. But in the same sense of, it's more, when you're posting, you kind of, you got to know your facts, but at the same time, you're voicing your own opinion, in a sense, because it's facts, but at the same time, people will always think it's your opinion.
Yeah, and but how do you balance that? Because indeed, the cancel culture is really great. And for yourself, you know, you are, as a person, allowed to make mistakes, right?
Yeah.
Don't make too weird big statements. Of course,
but,
you know, do your research, use Google or other sources.
Mm-hmm.
But how do you make sure you do not censor yourself too much in, you know, that you're only doing it for the outside? Because you still need to feed you, express from within you.
That's a hard question. Well, I guess that comes within our art then.
When we
start to express ourselves, that's where our art will probably start to kick in. Because now with our social media, in that sense, I really feel like social media won't help me stating my own opinion on a matter.
Yeah.
Because people will always have their own opinion on the matter too. Whereas if I give you numbers and facts and plain hard, like, this is what it's like, this is what everything is happening at the moment, then you will see that these are the facts. But then in my music, I'll tell you my story and I'll tell you my opinion.
Yeah.
And then you can take it however you want to take it.
Absolutely. So in your music, you would have more creative freedom? Can we say that?
Definitely. That's the beauty of art, I think. Yeah. It has the most creative freedom.
Yeah.
And to go to that amazing quote of Nina Simone, it is an artist's duty to reflect the times. Do you agree? Do you think that as an artist, no matter what tool you use, whether you use imagery, whether you use sound, but the times you live in, it is your duty to reflect that.
I think so, yeah. Because I recall, like, I remember James Baldwin saying that the writer is made from, like, the society that he lives in. So,
yeah.
In a way, I think as well, where when it comes to artists, they always have to, it has to be about the current situation, or because that's where you probably get your inspiration from.
Mm-hmm.
So
I could back that up, honestly. I remember, I mean, look at N.W.A.
Mm.
N.W.A.
Exactly.
is a great, for me, it's a great example of this. Like, they spoke their moment. And, like, Ice Cube was asked in an interview once, like, why do you speak about guns and violence? And he said, well, that's what I see when I look out my window. What do you see when you look out yours?
Mm.
So, you know, he's speaking about his time. And it's made a huge impact. Like, look how much impact N.W.A.'s had on the rap game.
Absolutely.
And how much it's had an impact on the culture. It spread so much awareness. At the time, there was nothing being spoken about when it came to Black Lives or anything like that. And N.W.A. were with some of the first people to speak against the police, speak against the whole, like, the whole movement of, like, white supremacy, or, like, the white push, or, you know. And it's those type of things where that push is really, really, really nice. Like,
yeah.
I love that. You being very young artists, very aware of your time. There was a period where some people said, you know, but this generation, spoiled, lazy, they have everything, blah, blah. at the same time, I think it is also a generation that is very aware and vocal about what is happening.
Yeah.
In a way that I'm like, okay, but how much of an importance are the footsteps you're stepping into? Because you're stepping into footsteps of people who paved the way, you're standing on shoulders of. Do you take that into counting with how you express yourself?
Okay, so and talking about the generation, let's say, about our young generation, we were actually talking about this on the way here, and I was telling him we are actually the most creative generation, I think, of our time, in the sense of we have the same tenacity as the generation before us. We have that same drive to do something, whereas we're not willing to shut up on something we care about.
Oh, no, you will not.
No, because, like, I know, for example, my parents will have an opinion on something, but they may not speak on it just because of how they might be viewed.
Absolutely.
Whereas I really don't give a damn. If you're going to view me in some type of way, I'm going to speak my voice because this is what I want to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
But I have that same tenacity because I'm very deeply, like, I feel it the same way my parents do.
Yeah.
And they have the same like heart and drive as me, but they just don't do anything with it. Like they kind of like have it and they keep silent.
Whereas, but they come out of a different time, right?
Yeah, but where that's the thing. That's the whole generational switch, yeah. I think, because they also didn't have social media. Social media is giving us that freedom as well.
Mm-hmm.
So that little freedom push we get is also from social media, not necessarily the generational gap. I think if they had the same things we had, they may have spoken up as well. But we are blessed to have what we have around us in order to be able to spread our word and talk what we want to talk about.
Absolutely. And for you, for you, Alexis?
Let's say for me, like example, one of the primary motivations for me with the things that I want to do and me speaking up is because of my nephews.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have kids myself, but my nephews, I want them not to experience what I have, because I have experienced racism and stuff like that a lot in all the categories of parts of my life, in volleyball,
micro, whatever,
anything,
everything.
So one of the motivations, let's say with the weight on the shoulder, is to make sure that they don't have to go through it, or to make it easier for them to realize that it doesn't need to be like this.
Yeah, and that they can speak up.
Yeah, exactly, and that they can definitely speak up.
So what is the footprint you would like to leave behind? If there's anything we should remember about Alexis, what is the feeling, what is the sound that you, the picture you would like to leave behind?
to seek out your own knowledge, I guess, in a way, because it's in that moment where I've grown mentally but spiritually and all that type of stuff, and not really seeking the true meaning of life or anything, but just trying to get more knowledge, and you understand more as well, and you see how the world works, and then you know what's good and what's wrong, and I would like to enlighten people in a way, and I don't know if as a last thing what it will really be, but it would be around that area. I can't come up with
it doesn't have to be right now.
I feel like it's probably going to be around that area too, like that I want just people to seek their own knowledge in a way.
Absolutely. Knowledge is power.
Yes, yeah, knowledge
indeed.
Is power.
Knowledge is power.
And for you, bro, what is the footprint, the feel, the sound, last song?
last dance, last supper. I mean, for a lot of things with me, I've always kind of said, like, if I leave something behind, it should be my discography, my music discography, because that's just, that would be my life story.
Yeah.
But when it comes to me trying to give people something like a message, in a sense, I would tell them to keep your eyes open to what's in front of you and read. If you're interested about something, read upon it. Don't you just take on somebody's word about it. Don't read upon it. Know your facts. Know where you're coming from, because people will come back at you.
Yeah.
And you got to come back at them.
Yeah.
Just in the same way they come back at you. So that would be something I'd recommend. And I also recommend to let life come to you in its own way, because I didn't necessarily expect this. I didn't necessarily want this in a sense.
But it came.
It came and it happened, and I'm appreciative of it happening. So I would just say wait for life to happen, but also be aware of what's going on.
Absolutely. Thank you. That's a very nice one indeed, because in the end it will happen, and if you don't go along, it will drag you along. So
it will happen anyways.
Yeah. We are in the midst of a pandemic right now. So there's a lot happening in the world. There's a lot being exposed in the world. So we are losing a lot, but we're also gaining a lot. I think what is a very important thing that is also being gained right now for your generation is the fact that mental health is being taken very seriously.
Happy More. Mental Awareness Month, by the way.
Is it?
Mental Health Awareness Month.
I just felt that. Yeah, but it is, because at the same time, indeed, you're a generation that is aware of speaking up, but is also monitored a lot. Everything, all eyes on you. It's like Tupac in here. No, but seriously, there are like a lot of eyes on you. There's a lot of stress that comes with it. There's a lot of expectation that you have for yourself, that people have for you. How do you make sure you stay balanced? That your mental health is in check with you having fun. You not only seeing protests, but also enjoying life, you know, because there's both, right?
Yeah,
definitely.
I think that this would fit perfectly with what he just said previously to now, because in a sense, you just have to, if you can recognize what is happening as well, then you can just, because what I have when I have my down moments, that's when I'm just in my room and I'm just doing stuff for myself. And then when I feel better, that's when I come back out and then I socialize and stuff like that. And I also have like a therapy that I will have to talk to, and you know, it's more of you gotta know that there's good and bad.
Yeah.
And you will have to experience both of them, because there's no good without the bad.
Absolutely.
So then you have to accept that if you're feeling down, it doesn't mean that the world is going to end.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that it's a moment, and then it will pass. And then good times will come.
You gotta know what sadness is in order to know what happiness is.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Otherwise, if you're happy all the time, then what does it
you
make?
Don't know.
Yeah,
the other hand.
In a sense, that's how at least I've been dealing with when it comes to mental health.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And how do you recharge? If you have a little dip, because sometimes you just have a dip. How do you recharge? Do you have a certain tool, a certain something you do, listen to, eat? I don't know.
It's mostly like the time spent with myself.
Okay.
Because then I try to, it's reading music, it's trying to make music, it's trying to come up with something new for photography, stuff like that. It really is just you being with yourself.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That is how I recharge, when I'm with myself the most. And then, because when I'm socializing and all the energy that I'm giving out with people, then it's like, it's all for the people and stuff like that. And then when it comes to that dipping moment, then I know, okay, I need the time to just be with myself and talk to myself. And I know that that's not wrong, so.
Yeah. I can definitely agree with that. And I'm also like, something that I'm happy about is the fact that mental health is finally being spoken about. And I feel it's as serious as physical health, if not even more serious. Like, to bring to a point, for example, Kyrie Irving, an NBA player, was being bashed on the internet for taking a few days off because of mental health issues.
Yeah.
And I understood it completely. I wasn't mad at him. I didn't feel why. I was wondering why people were bashing him, actually. Because I felt like if a player is not in the mental state to play, how do you expect him to shoot the ball? How do
you expect him to do well?
And what he did was take his time to himself as well. And I think that's what everybody would need to do in order to like get back into your own state. You definitely, there are your down moments when you're by yourself. And then maybe you might need some company. Go see some friends or something. And then there are the times where you're down and you just should put your energy into something you like, something you enjoy, to get your head out of its little space, little hole. Once you're out of that, just the slightest, you see the light at the end of the tunnel, and you just should keep going towards that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah. Is there, if we have to put a time frame on it, let's say within 10 years, Alexis, where are you and your camera? Where are your images?
Hopefully in museums.
Speak it into existence. Do you have a certain museum in mind that you said, I would love to have my work there because of the following reason, for instance?
No, I want it to be all over the place. I want it to be all over the place. I don't want it to be in a specific museum, because I don't want it. I don't want that some people will have to come to a specific spot to see my work.
I think you'd have some work in Curaçao, though, for
No,
sure.
For sure. That's,
for sure. That's, like, come on.
That's for sure. Yeah. But in 10 years, man, I really do, yeah. I had this idea where, because I love music as well, and the current project that I have with the whole, I have an idea with vinyl records, right? Ooh. And as the same way, in 10 years, mm-hmm. what I imagine is like, you know how like Dr. Dre and stuff like that, they have their wall full of the plaques and platinum stuff like that. I won't want in 10 years that I have that as well, but all of the plaques be projects of mine.
Nice.
So whatever thing that I have.
Portfolio wall.
Yeah, my portfolio kind of wall. And then they're all like projects of stuff that I did. And of course, all the projects will be about BLM or anything that I see fit.
Yeah.
But the fact that then it can be that. All of those, and I want to collaborate with artists as well. So mm-hmm. it's not just that, it's just vinyls for the picture or anything, but it's also going to be just music within it as well.
Nice.
So I think in 10 years, I will really want to have, of course, with the, not the fame per se, but just the wealth, I guess. And
the recognition.
Yeah, the recognition. The recognition, basically. Yeah. That's what I will want to, I will have hope that I have by that time.
Nice. And for you, Fro?
Yeah.
10 years from now. I don't know. Yeah, that's a lot to think about. That's a lot to think about. I mean,
it's a lot, but it goes fast.
It does.
Yeah.
That's so true. It does. I mean, in 10 years, I really hope I'm still doing music. But if not, I think I'm going to be working with some sort of group in order to try and help something. Because I really do see myself going into this activist phase. And I feel like the music industry is very, very competitive. And I do believe I can make it, but then again, there are possibilities I don't. And there has to be a backup plan. But hopefully in 10 years, I'm on stage somewhere with, like, I don't know, like 10,000 screaming fans. I don't know.
I'm behind you.
Shit ton of people. You can be there, take pictures and stuff. But I just want people to know me for who I am and just understand that I just want to speak my story and you can take it however you want to take it. But yeah.
Yeah, that's great. And as long as you, indeed, because you, as the artist or as the one telling the story, decide what is making it, right? If you are heard by the right people, you made it. If you save somebody's feeling down and you're the one they go to, oh, this picture makes me feel this way, or this song picks me up, you made
that. Yeah, that's something I would be very proud of, honestly. Yeah. I'd rather help two people like in a big way than just impact a few people in a very short way.
Yeah.
Like 100,000 people very a little happy with your music, or like two people who you change their lives with music is way more valuable.
Well, thank you very much, Alexis and Fro, for this great conversation.
I'm hoping
I'm sending it out to the universe that we can have one in 10 years.
Yeah.
So we can look back and see what we manifested right here.
That would be sick.
But indeed, I mean, just keep, keep on growing and glowing. I think y'all doing a wonderful job. The way you put your mind into words already gives very much warmth and hope and love. And I think that if you speak from a place like that, you're good. Thank you so much. I would like to thank everybody also listening to the Lighthouse podcast series. And if you want to stay updated and follow the progress of these amazing emerging artists, please check photodoc.org/lighthouse. Thank you for listening, and hopefully till the next episode. This podcast is made possible by all people who have donated through our For the Kunst crowdfunding, Photodoc, Bank Giro Loterijfonds, Prins Bernhard Cultuurfonds, For Hannah Foundation, ABN AMRO Cultuurfonds, Ventener van Vlissingen Fonds and KF Heijn Fonds.